9:04 a.m. We're here for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board, Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Can I have a roll call, please, Jan?
Yes, Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Ms. King? Not present as yet. Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac? Not present as yet. Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
We will jump right into our schedule. Item number one, the approval of minutes. Letter A, regular meeting held April 25th, 2023. Any comments or questions regarding these minutes? Not hearing any comments or questions. Do I have a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes held April 25th, 2023?
Mr. Helling, a motion.
Thank you, Tim.
Conrad, second.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, motion to approve the minutes from April 25th, 2023 passes. Moving on to item number two, our Chief Investment Officer report. Will this be done by you, David, or
thank
Eric?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of remarks for the end, but Mr. Sauer is prepared to give a performance update first here today.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sauer.
Morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. The fund ended in the month of April with a value of $5.64 billion. The return of 0.6% in April underperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 25 basis points. And the story of relative performance this month is it was really just a bunch of small negatives that just kind of all went in the same direction. So the main detractor was real estate. We had a few negative real estate reports come in, and that detracted 10 basis points. And then 7 out of the fund's 11 active public equity mandates underperformed. But you can see the total of that adds up to 11 basis points. So per manager, it was really small. It just happened to be that they were all, as I said, going in the same direction. You can see in the table to the right that the fund is outperforming over the longer time periods, 1, 5, 10, 15, and 20-year periods. Through May 22nd, the fund was down approximately 0.4% month-to-date for May, which brings the year-to-date return to up 3.5%, and the fund value to $5.62 billion. 10 out of the fund's 16 active mandates are outperforming year-to-date, and the fixed income asset class is outperforming its benchmark year to date. Year to date, the fund has seen a change in value of investments of $199.1 million, has paid out benefits and expenses of $163.7 million, and has received contributions of $114.4 million. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, I will turn it over to David to talk about cash flows.
Thank you, Eric. Any comments or questions for Eric before we go to David? Not hearing any. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Thank you, Terry, as well. We do have, there's been more cash activity, seems like, than normal the last few months, at least compared to like maybe a normal time period. And the best way probably to for you to keep up to date on the cash movements is it's a one-page slide that is typically included in board packages. This month it's in informational, the very last page, I think, of the package that was sent out last week. And Terry has it up on, in front on the screen too, if that's easier. So this is actually a moving document. It's never set in stone. It's updated for best available information. So the numbers that you see next month will probably be a little different than the month's numbers you see now. But again, this is the best information we had and we're able to share a week ago. And if you scroll down a little bit more, Terry, so we can see the, if you kind of on the second half of this page, you have a monthly cash withdrawals additions section of this slide where you have all the managers listed and numbers that go across. And these are basically money going in or out of managers. If it's a positive number, it means we took money from a manager during that time period. If it's negative, it actually means we deposited. We increased the amount that manager invests for us. So I'm not planning on listing every manager and the amounts here, but if you, when you do look at this, you'll tend to see that at least this month and the last month, most of the money that we're taking out is from public equity managers. And the reason that's happening is that we have some public equity managers that are off to strong starts this year. It's also pushed our public equity allocation above its current 44% target. So to pay benefits, we're taking it from public equity managers to get that allocation. We now have it below target, I think, as you've seen with some of the Friday mailings. We're also taking money from our hedge fund, our absolute return allocation. This was really an initiative that we started towards the end of last year to reduce our exposure to absolute return. It was overweight at the beginning of the year. Now it's now we've pushed it underweight our current target. And you'll see some large negative numbers this month and last month, and those are to fixed income managers. And that's intentional as well, where fixed income was very underweight going into this year, and we've been able to push it pretty close to our current target. Ultimately, while this is all going on, we're trying to better position the portfolio to pivot to whatever mix the investment committee, what you end up choosing, selecting at our June 8th investment committee meeting. As you know, all the mixes we're talking about support a 7.5% discount rate over the next 30 years, but the ones we're focusing on, I think going forward, are the ones that push down our public equity allocation below 44% and push up our fixed income allocation above 23%. So by taking these actions now, these last couple months, we're going to be better positioned to get to whatever you decide where we ultimately want to get to in a few weeks. And all these actions also have the added benefit of enhancing our fund's liquidity positioning. As you know, our liquidity position, there was some stress on it last year going into this year, really because of the market movements with both stocks and bonds going down as much as they did in the markets. So by getting that fixed income allocation up, being able to use public equity to pay some of these benefits, we're in a better position going forward. I would say, there's a lot of talk with markets right now. There's the debt ceiling discussions going on right now. There's still ongoing recession talk, impact of inflation, higher interest rates, what impact. There's a lot of uncertainty on how this might end up impacting the markets. Certainly if stocks go down for any one of those reasons, our fund value will, on all likelihood, go down as well in that type of environment. What we're trying to do is, I feel good that our fund is in a very good liquidity position, a much better liquidity position than we were in just a few months ago. So if there was a prolonged downturn again, or at least for the second half of the year, we have plenty of liquidity. I feel good about the liquidity we have to pay benefits for a prolonged downturn if we were in that environment. And that would hopefully be able to allow us to ride out any volatility. Lastly, I'll just turn the attention to the June 8th Investment Committee meeting. It's just a couple weeks away. The package will be going out next Friday. I don't think you'll see a lot of items on the agenda, but there are two really important items that we'll be talking about. One is phase three of the ALM study. As you know, Callan just presented phase two a couple weeks ago. So phase three is some follow-up, but it should be familiar to you as well what you'll end up seeing in the presentation. And I think Callan is going to ask you, if you're comfortable doing so, to select a strategic asset allocation, a new strategic asset allocation going forward. At the same time, we'll also have Sally Munier from Callan there to talk about our real estate portfolio. So not only are we going to decide how much money we want to invest in real estate as part of the ALM study, we're also asking Callan to make a recommendation to us on how to divide up that allocation now that we have a fifth manager. You interviewed a couple managers in April, so now we have five managers to divide up that real estate allocation for, and we'll be talking about how to do that at the meeting as well. So it should be a great meeting. Looking forward to having all those conversations with you. And those were my prepared remarks. I'm happy to take any questions, again, about the fund and performance or the what's going on with the investments, if there are any.
Thank you, David. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? All right, not hearing any. Completed item two. Moving on to item number three, we have the investment committee report and letter A, approval of the UBS Hedge Fund Solutions guideline change. That's going to be Tom. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At our May 4th meeting, Callan presented phase two of the asset liability study. After some discussion, the committee expressed its intention to focus on the four mixes in Callan's presentation that are expected to lower the fund's volatility and increase the fund's fixed income allocation compared to the fund's current strategic asset allocation targets. Callan will present phase three of the asset liability study on June 8th, as David just mentioned, and the committee will have the opportunity to select a new strategic asset allocation policy at that time. Next, the committee approved a guideline change to the fund's hedge fund portfolio managed by UBS Hedge Fund Solutions. The guideline change will allow UBS to increase the percentage of investments into vehicles with liquidity terms of between 2 and 3 years from 10% to 20%. This guideline change became necessary as a result of the committee's decision last year to reduce the fund's target allocation to UBS from 7% to 4%. After that, staff presented due diligence reports from Mesirow Financial, BlackRock, and Poland Capital Management. And finally, the staff presented its first quarter performance update to us. So in summary, the investment committee recommends approval of the following item, which was item one on the agenda, approval of the UBS Hedge Fund Solutions guideline change. And I put forth a motion to approve that. That's all.
Conrad seconds the motion.
Thank you. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections. The motion passes. Tom, anything else for the item three?
No, other than, as David just mentioned, looks like June 8th is a big day for us. So looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We're moving on to item number four, the new business, letter A, approval of policy decision of joint and survivor actuarial factors for optional forms of benefits.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a holding item. I did put an exhibit in the file for everybody to look at. It's a copy of a request for a city attorney's opinion on this subject. At the last meeting, the board did request that we get a city attorney's opinion regarding the whole issue, really on the equities, whether or not there were any legal issues under the charter associated with having separate tables for general city as opposed to public safety, and also whether it's there were equity issues associated with having only one table for people that have survivors and also for those that don't have survivors. And the actuary actually has the ability to provide tables for separate tables for both groups. And so this is not up for decision today because we haven't got the opinion yet, but Patrick's working on the opinion and we'll bring it back to the board in either June or July whenever the opinion is available. So if anybody has any questions, I put it in here because I wanted everybody to see the request. If there's any comments about the request or anybody feels that there should be some corrections or revisions to it, I think this would be the time to, you know, have that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments from board members regarding the request? All right, not hearing any. Thanks, Jerry, for the updates.
Say one other thing about this. The actuary is not here today, but he will be here next month, okay? Because he will be delivering the valuation, hopefully, that everything will be closed out in time for that. And so he'll be available to discuss this if we get the city attorney opinion on time. And perhaps if the city attorney's office isn't ready, we'll have Larry come back in July, just to let everybody know, because this is an actuarial subject after all. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Jerry. And that will be then dealt with in June or July.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving to item five, new business. Letter B, retirement death claims and refunds for April. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Matt. In the package, we have the normal monthly listing of retirement death claims and refunds for the month of April. This is basically approving the payroll. And I guess, Matt, if you would ask for a motion, unless there are any revisions or corrections that that the trustees wanted to reference, a motion would be appropriate.
Thank you. Jerry, any comments or questions from board members? Not hearing any. Would ask for a motion to approve payroll for April 2023.
This is Aicha. I'll make the motion.
Kelly, no second.
Thank you, Aicha. Thank you, Tim. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve payroll for April passes. Item four, letter C, conference requests for the May 2023 board meeting. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you, Matt. We have two requests, both for David. One is for the Roundtable for Consultants and Institutional Investors in Chicago, early in October, the 3rd to the 5th, and the estimated budget for that would be $1,300. And then again, for David in Phoenix, this is, it's being sponsored by Prologis, which is one of our real estate funds, as I'm sure you're all familiar, and that's at the end of October, and also about a $1,300 budget for that.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding? Not hearing any. Entertain a motion to approve the conference request May 2023 regarding David Silber attending the two conferences listed.
Kelly will make that motion.
Thank you, Tim. Do I have a second?
Aicha will second.
Thank you, Aicha. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, the motion for the conference request May 2023 passes. Moving on to item five, the medical reports, letter A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for May 2023. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Matt. So we have three reports in the file this time. The first one, as usual, is the medical panel approvals report. These are all reexaminations, and the medical panel is recommending approval for each of them. The second report is a medical council approvals report, and we have two new applications. One from, if I have the name right here, Ibram Dias, and that's a DPW person. This is for ordinary disability, and it's a new application recommended for approval. And also for Jack Steinbeck, who's a firefighter, and that's also for ordinary. It's a new application, and that's also recommended for approval. The third report is the Medical Council Denials Report. The first is a new application for Tamika Cole from DPW. This is a new application for I guess it's for duty.
Ordinary.
Ordinary. Where does it say that? And then for Ibram Diaz, who had applied for duty but is recommended for receiving ordinary. So those are the recommendations from the council and from the panel. If there's any questions, Gus is at the table as well, and he would be happy to take any questions or comments, having worked with both of those groups.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding the duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations? Not hearing any. It would ask for a motion to approve the medical reports for May 2023.
Conrad moves approval.
Glusman will second.
Thank you for the motion and the second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve the duty and well, the medical reports for May passes. Next item is item 5, letter B, disability findings for Benjean Lara. I will go through and read the...
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Is that time?
Yeah, this is Mr. Klusman. I don't know if this is the time to ask, but before we get into this, is this marked for closed session? I see a closed session mention on the back, and it seems to me before we get involved in discussion of this, it's litigation, so should we be going into closed session on this?
Well, thanks for the question, Tom. That's one that we had examined carefully, and in fact, I double-checked it again yesterday. And there is a closed session exemption for litigation potentially to receive counsel, for the board to receive legal counsel. In this instance, though, the legal counsel for the board has written a brief. And as you probably recall, Tom, from your long experience on the board, we don't have oral argument on these. The trustees get a copy of the brief. And for us to go into closed session and only have the counsel for the board present would really be, from a due process standpoint, would be fundamentally unfair to the applicant to have counsel present, you know, for the board and the city, but not to have his own counsel present. So for that reason, we weren't able to go into closed session. So I guess the wisest thing to do is not to discuss the merits of the of any of his medical conditions, although they are public records. But the issues here are, well, I won't say they're entirely procedural, but there's a big procedural issue here that Matt will go into that has really little to do with the medical merits of the case. So I guess what I'm trying to say is we looked at going into closed session, but the exception didn't fit because we can't have Patrick McLean present to give us advice, and therefore we're not able to go into closed session.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Jerry. And Mr. Conrad, go ahead.
Yes, came to my attention earlier. I think it's correct to say that we can't go into closed session under the exception that's listed today in the agenda, because that does require obtaining advice of counsel. However, there is another exception in the public meetings law for deliberating in the context of a judicial or after judicial or quasi-judicial hearing. The hearing before the pension board was a quasi-judicial hearing, and my question is, when we discuss the request made here, it appears to me that that would be deliberation. So I would suggest if the board members do want to or would prefer discussing this closed session, we could put this over to the next meeting and meanwhile get an opinion of whether or not the exception for deliberation allows us to discuss this in closed session, even when, you know, council isn't present. And council would never be present in a deliberation anyway. And make myself clear?
I got that, Rudy. It's for a deliberation rather than to receive counsel.
Yes. Because we are being asked to deliberate after whether or not to remand this, and in order to answer that question, we have to discuss whether or not the decision conforms with the ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. It does make sense to me, just throwing it out there to the other board members. Any comments or questions regarding this, or thoughts holding this over for the opinion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Ford.
I'd like to hold it over.
Thank you. Any other comments from board members?
Mr. Klusman would also feels the same as Ms. Ford and Mr. Conrad. I'd like to hold it over.
Great. Thank you.
Helen feels the same way.
Thank you, Tim. And Aicha, anything on your end?
I'm okay holding it over as well.
Great. And I think that's everybody that's on the call, correct, Terry?
Yes.
Excellent. And I also agree with pulling it over to make sure we get this done correctly. Also, just for transparency's sake, I just want to mention in open session, I had, as part of my career with the Milwaukee Police Department, I had worked with Mr. Lara many years ago when we were working on the South Side together. Co-workers and peers at work. I don't know him personally, and I have not been following the case until it's brought to the board's attention. I also have a little more personal relationship with Anthony Vera, who is also mentioned in the reports. However, out of transparency, again, I just wanted to mention that in open session, I don't see a problem with this affecting my fiduciary responsibility as a board member and chairman. So, if anyone has any comments or questions regarding that, I'd be happy for it to be addressed now before we step into this issue further. Right. Not hearing any questions or concerns regarding that. The item 5, letter B, disability findings for Benjie Lara will be carried over for a closed session at the June meeting. Any comments or questions before we move on to item 6? Right, item 6, unfinished business, letter A, item A, pending legal opinions and service request report. Patrick, are you handling that this morning?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Jerry mentioned it earlier that we're in the process of putting together that opinion relevant to dual tables. That is in process. Aside from that, I don't have any additional comments unless the board members have any questions.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions, board members or staff, for the pending legal opinions? Not hearing any. Thank you, Patrick. We will move on to item 6, letter B, pending legislation report. Also, Mr. McLean? Or will that be Jerry?
That's me, Matt. Thank you. So there's really nothing to update on this pending legislation report. There is, however, pending legislation in the legislature that I have a report on in my executive director's report, which is next up. So we can go to that if, when you're ready, sir.
Yes, why don't we move in to the item C, which will also include item B, and that will require us to go into closed session. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following items. Item C, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub G, Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed session?
Plusman.
Thank you, Tom. Do I have a second?
Conrad,
second.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections going into closed? Not hearing any. Can I have a roll call, please? Jan,
yes.
And time.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King, not present. Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac? Not present. Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
And Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Quorum, if you say the time, I'll pause the recorder.
Jan, time is 9:36 a.m.
Thank you.
10:08 a.m. Go ahead, Jan.
Thank you.
You can keep going, Mr. Bell. Oh, thank you, Terry. So moving on then to item 7 is informational. We have items A through K. If there is no comments or questions from board members or staff, we will place those on file. Any comments or questions regarding?
None from the staff.
Not hearing any. Sorry, go ahead.
I said none from the staff.
Got it. None from the staff, none from members. Those will go be placed on file, and I will ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Busman.
Tom, will I make the motion?
First was Tom, and then I think that was Rudy the second, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Thank you. Any objections? Not hearing any. The meeting passes. It is 10:10 a.m. Everyone have a good day. Thank